A while ago, I annoyed a lot of people by posting on Facebook that I'm getting a little sick of storytelling. I mean, I like first-person narratives and all, but it's become such a dominant form on podcasts and radio and TV shows and books and magazines and live events. Sometimes it seems like everyone everywhere is just dying to tell you their story. The philosopher Galen Strawson thinks our current obsession with life stories is a problem. In fact, he recently wrote an essay for Eon magazine titled, "I Am Not a Story." And that made Steve Paulson want to know more.
There's a growing movement these days to think of our lives as narratives, that we are the stories we tell. And there's even a branch of psychotherapy that tries to get people to tell better stories about themselves. Why does this obsession with life narratives trouble you?
Oh, first of all, it has no resemblance to anything I experience in my own case. Well, I might ask you straight away, do you think of yourself, of your life, as a narrative?
I tend not to, but I also certainly tell plenty of stories about my life, and I guess we have to kind of parse the differences there.
And what you say when you say you tell stories about your life is what many people say, but already I don't get the use of the word story. I like to distinguish between a narrative and a chronology, where a chronology is just knowledge of basic facts. You know, I know when I went to school, I left school at 16, and so on and so on. There are two claims. One is that we all live like this. We all experience our lives like this. And the second claim is that we ought to do this. We ought to experience our lives as a narrative. And I just think both of them are false.
So you're saying you do not have a life story about yourself?
I don't think so. There might be lots of little bits, but there isn't a story, isn't a continuous narrative. Here another thing cuts in, which is I think that the way our deep characters, as it were, are really principally an effect of genetic inheritance and very early upbringing, before the time at which we can remember anything. So I'm very skeptical about the idea that we really change dramatically after a certain point, and even more skeptical about the idea that we could be in control of that process.
Is partly what you're saying that these stories that we tell about ourselves, they're often just not true?
There's terribly heavy evidence that we misremember. People could be deeply self-deluded as to what's actually going on. And of course, people like Daniel Kahneman, in his book Thinking Fast and Slow, has amassed this enormous amount of evidence about how deceived we are about
right.
what's actually going on.
And of course, the thing about telling a life story is inevitably we're going to play up certain things and we're going to forget about other things, either intentionally or not. I mean, to shape the story, it's like a novelist.
Sure.
You know, what are you going to put in there? And what are you going to exclude? But then if you're talking about a real life, there's deliberate or maybe unconscious omission as well.
Right. Sure.
Which raises then the question of how authentic that grand narrative is.
Well, you're going to get massive variation. Jean-Paul Sartre is interesting because he's on my side, really. So in his famous novel, Nausea, I'll quote you something. He says, "A man," he means a human being, "a man is always a teller of stories. He lives surrounded by his own stories and those of other people. He sees everything that happens to him in terms of these stories, and he tries to live his life as if he were recounting it." And this, for him, is actually almost his definition of inauthenticity. And he's the guy, you know, from whom we got the concept of inauthenticity.
So you said that you yourself don't have a kind of a life narrative. I mean, it does raise the question of how you construct your own sense of identity.
Yeah, but that is not something I need to do. It's really, I've just got it. Yeah, so you're right. So Oliver Sacks, a great man, he said each of us, I'm quoting actually, each of us constructs and lives a narrative. And then he says that this narrative is us, our identities. That seems very odd to me. I mean, it makes me think of my friends before they had children, and they all thought that, you know, that they were all sort of good liberals, and they thought that you could shape people.
and then you have kids, and you realize, no, they come
then you have
out
kids,
in totally
and what you realize
ways.
Is that
yes.
children are born with characters, deeply, deeply, deeply. And then, of course, there's all that stuff you lay on them. So I just think our identity is just given. But what I've discovered is that psychologists and philosophers use the word identity very differently. So philosophers tend to mean your identity is, you know, your deepest self, what you truly are. But actually, psychologists use it to mean precisely your conception of yourself. I've only recently discovered how we've been misunderstanding each other. I mean, they will say, of course you construct your identity because that's your conception of yourself. But when I talk about having an identity, I just know that I've got a certain character.
So when you look back at who you were when, I don't know, you were 15 or 30, do you think you were essentially the same person you are now?
I have no sense that I was there when I was 15 or 30 or 45 or 50. Absolutely none. It means nothing to me.
What do you mean you have no sense of who you were back then?
Not really. I know a lot about what the people I knew were like, but if you asked me to try to describe myself, I'm sure I would come up with a few thoughts.
Do you think there's such a thing as a true self?
I actually do. And sometimes people are so surprised that I say that. I do think we have a deep essence, a deep personal essence. You know, Proust is one of the people who might be thought of as having gone furthest in sort of thinking about his past and relating it to his present. And he, at one point, is discussing how he's trying to shape himself. And then he comes up with this line about how really all that ever happens if you succeed is that you become who you really are, which I think is very good. You can't make yourself differently from how you are, whatever external front you put on.
You're really asking us to be more honest about examining ourselves, right? It sounds like you're saying the problem with a lot of life stories, I mean, they're good stories. They're not necessarily very accurate. They're inauthentic, or they can be.
Yes, I think that's right. Joan Didion, she'd be telling a story to her family, and they'd all say, that's just not what happened. And she would say, I don't care. And I'm not going to say she's a morally worse person because she wants to sort of evolve within her creative fiction of her life. That's why I would hesitate about saying honest or dishonest. I think there are people who are very committed to the facts and people who may live best in this kind of semi-inventive.
So why do you think these life narratives are so popular now? I mean, it seems like there's something that's happened in the last few decades that has sort of brought this whole idea to the forefront.
Yeah. I mean, now the word has gone out of control. And so, you know, every time you turn on the news, you hear, the narrative at the White House this afternoon is da, da, da. So it's just become a word just for meaning what people are saying or something like that. And I don't necessarily object to it as used in that way. What I object to is the very specific idea that you ought to, as it were, try to live your life as a narrative and see it as one. I just think you're going to, almost certainly, going to just sink into inauthenticity if you do that.
That's Galen Strawson. He's a philosopher at the University of Texas, and he was talking with Steve Paulson.